For this experience students retreat, we have a sense and basically understand that you all already have most likely an established practice. We will be offering supports for practice in these morning instruction periods. We'll not be so much following the usual progression that we offer on a week-long retreat, because we know that you have your own practices that you're doing. And so what we will offer are suggestions that will hopefully support your practice. At the beginning of a retreat, it's useful with whatever practice you're doing to establish mindfulness, to cultivate stability of mind. There are a lot of different ways you can do this. Some of you may be settling with one experience, such as the breath or body sensations. This is a very supportive way to collect the attention and settle into stability, concentration. Some of you may be using a form of a metta practice or an open awareness practice. All of this is fine. Use what supports you. At times, we may be suggesting or speaking about cultivating attention in a particular way. And use that if it feels supportive for you. This morning, I'd like to offer some supports for stabilizing the attention that seem useful, whatever the practice. And it begins with relaxation. Really useful to cultivate support, a relaxation of body. This may be through a conscious relaxation, maybe a scan. Checking in and allowing there to be a release of tension in areas where you may notice it. Or it may be that kind of a reminder or a little request almost an invitation. Maybe the body can relax. Sometimes I find simply dropping that invitation into the mind, I can feel a relaxation, a release of body. Maybe the body can relax. Maybe our system knows how to relax the body. Relaxation and alertness are not opposites. There can be a very relaxed body and mind that supports a quite alert attention. Maybe the body can relax. As the body relaxes, it can support the mind to also soften and relax, to let go of worries, concerns, to set aside any mental tension that might be present. And again, sometimes an invitation can support this. Maybe the mind can relax. Relaxation of body, of mind, supports our capacity to be aware, to be mindful with experience in the present moment. With some whatever relaxation is here with your experience in the moment. Allowing the attention to begin to receive what is happening in the present moment. That may be the breath. It may be body sensation or sound. If you have a familiar meditation object or experience that you collect with, exploring the possibility of receiving that experience. Rather than directing, trying to find, notice detail about that experience, let that experience show itself. Sometimes an analogy that I find supportive for this kind of receiving of experience is that of a naturalist. A naturalist goes out into nature and sits quietly and is willing to be present for the nature that shows up. It may be that a naturalist is particularly interested in one particular creature, and so sits quietly in the place where that creature may appear. And is attuned to the coming and going of that creature. But is not diving into the hole to find the creature or tromping around looking for it, but rather sitting patiently and receiving the nature that is showing up. Or a naturalist may be more broadly interested in a variety of relationships and settles back and just receives many different aspects of nature. Relax and receive your experience. And also, as with a naturalist simply curious about what's here today, what's here in this moment. It's nature being observed, simply allowing what is showing up to show up. Allowing the breath to be as it is. This is the breath that's showing up in this moment. This is the sensation showing up in this moment. In our mindfulness practice, nothing is excluded. Whatever is arising can be met with mindfulness. Exploring the possibility of allowing allowing is often easy if experience is pleasant. And it is also possible to allow whatever experience arises. And if there is resistance or is some kind of clinging or pushing away, that too is just another experience arising, another one of the combinations of aggregates arising. And maybe that can be allowed. This is what it's like when a human being experiences resistance. Receiving experience. Inviting, allowing. Another aspect of establishing mindfulness, stabilizing, the attention, stabilizing the mind, is how we use our effort, how we connect with our experience moment after moment. This is kind of the art of meditation in a way, how we connect with experience. We may try to kind of hold on or press to try to stay present for a stretch of time. Sitting down in our meditation, there may be just a little bit of pressure in the mind. I need to stay mindful for the whole 45-minute sitting. And our minds don't quite work that way. It's actually fairly easy to be mindful for a moment. Right now, can you be aware of your breath? Just in this moment, how is your breath? An in-breath or an out-breath? How about the experience of hearing in this moment? It's usually not so difficult to simply connect with what's obvious about experience for a moment. And that's the level of effort to make in a moment, and then doing it again and again and again. That's the harder part, in a way. Sometimes we pick up the idea of, I have to keep doing this again. And we get heavy and tight around that. But in a moment, just in a moment, a light touch, just enough to connect. As we do that, a little bit of momentum begins to build. We may begin to recognize that when we become aware in a moment, that we're actually aware for several moments. We begin to get familiar with that quality of being aware. There's an analogy I sometimes use around this kind of practice or kind of exploration of the light touch of being aware. And that's the analogy of one of those scooters that kids ride, not the motorized ones, but the ones that you have to put your foot on the platform and put your foot down to kick, to tap the ground to get the momentum of the scooter going. You might start or think you want to start by getting going fast and put your foot down and try to push really hard. That'll create a pretty wobbly ride. A stable ride can be found by a light tap, just enough to get a little bit going, And then another light tap and another one. And then the momentum of the scooter builds and you can ride for a while. You can put your foot up and ride for a while. And then you'll start to notice the scooter gets a little wobbly and then you need to put your foot down again and tap to get it going again and then can ride again for a while. The effort with mindfulness is kind of like that. Frequent, light connection at the beginning. A momentum begins to build. We get familiar with that experience of the momentum of mindfulness. And then we also begin to get familiar with when it feels like the mindfulness gets a little wobbly. When the mind begins to lose touch a little bit with the experience in the present moment. Then useful to reconnect this breath, this body sensation, aware. We also start to see kind of similarly to the scooter that when there is a momentum, putting the foot down actually gets in the way. If there's a momentum, if you put your foot down, it can kind of slow you down. And so similarly with the mindfulness, at certain points, there's a momentum. It's of the mindfulness, a sense of simply already knowing that we are aware and connecting with experience, already with the breath, already with experience. Then kind of reminding yourself at that point might kind of get in the way of that stabilization. So it's a real art. There's an art to this, working with the effort in our practice. But keeping it light is so helpful. Taking the time to stabilize the mindfulness in a way that feels easeful and relaxed and connected and alert. These together can grow together. Relaxation and alertness can grow together, creating the conditions for a very relaxed, stabilized mindfulness, a concentration that is not tight, not brittle, but very open, connected, and receptive to what's here. In a couple of minutes, Gil will offer some suggestions connected to walking practice. Just a few announcements before that. Today is a day of settling in. I think most of you are aware of that. Those of you who are new to IRC may not be aware that we start our practice discussions, our meetings with you. Not today, but on the second full day of retreat. So we'll begin those tomorrow and we'll talk more about that this afternoon. Kim will offer a few signups this afternoon that is posted. It's posted on the door to the dining room. As you're heading into the dining room, the door on the right-hand side of the dining room is where we will post practice discussion information, and Kim's signups will also be on that door. It's a magnetic door, so we can post things there. And then we have heard that the bell is not transmitting into the space. And I wondered, I turned on my mic before I rang the bell, today. With the mic up here by the ear, it may not have transmitted, but want to make an experiment here for something to suggest to the practice leaders who are ringing the bell, so that both the people in the outer sitting spaces and the second meditation hall and online can hear the bell, hopefully. So we'll try leaving the mic right next to the bell, and then you'll just have to remember to unmute the mic before you ring the bell. So I'll experiment with that now and see if it works. Did I have it off when I rang it? All right, let me try again. You can hear that out there. Can those of you in the other meditation hall hear it? Excellent. All right. So hopefully they can hear that on the Zoom as well. Excellent. Okay, so we have a solution. So we will leave the mic next to the bell here, and then this device, you have to push the button so the button is up. It says right on it, up is on. So just unmute before, after the bell is rung, then you can mute it again.
I'll put a card up here that says that, so you'll see it next to the striker. And also the card will say which number the mics are numbered, so it'll be mic number one, and the card will make it clear. So I'm going to speak a little bit about walking meditation, a little bit assuming that you've had lots of walking instructions before. However, I don't assume that all of you have found your way into walking meditation. For some people, it's an acquired taste, and even some people have been on retreat a lot, have kind of avoided it or kind of not really appreciate it and haven't found their way into it, so that feels like a wonderful, organic way of practicing. So I'll say a few things. I was inspired by Andrea's statement about that relaxation and alertness are not opposed to each other. And I took a little luxury of a couple of seconds thinking about that. Or feeling into my experience about that, how that works, and what worked for me was to change the word from relaxation to release, and they're almost the same thing, same maybe muscles in the relaxation of the body, maybe it's the same muscles operating, but the same movement of muscles. But the difference for me is that relaxation has association of just kind of sinking a little bit, so giving in to gravity, whereas release has a more of a feeling of expansion, And so what happens when I relax and release in meditation physically, there's sometimes an upwelling movement in the body. Sometimes the spine actually lifts as I do that. And with that kind of relaxation, that's also alertness. There's also a release of alertness, a release of awareness in the process as well. If I overemphasize relaxation, it's nice, but I sometimes don't get the quality of alertness, awareness kind of getting brighter as a result. And so with walking meditation, what I like about this release also is that I'm releasing myself into the flow of time, the river of time. We're like a moment in the river of time. But the river of time, if we use this analogy, is always flowing. And so to be released into that flow and be carried by it. So if you're being carried by a river, if you're in the middle of the current, the current will carry you along. But if you get washed up on a shoal, you get stuck there. If you go on the edge of the river and there's an eddy, you can just get stuck in the eddy for a long time. There's a branch coming down and it catches some part of your little, you know, something of you, and then the branch keeps you from going. Or if you kind of miss the current, you might end up going over the rapids or something. But to stay in the current and allow the current to carry you and don't get stuck. So being lost in distracted thoughts and stories can be a little bit like being in the eddies or being stuck on a shoal and not moving anymore. You're not in the current of time anymore. And since walking meditation is a movement, maybe it's a little bit easier to have a sense that with the physical movement, that you're being carried by something. At least I do that in my imagination, where when I do walking meditation, I kind of, even though I'm the one who's doing the stepping, I kind of let that idea of the doer recede to the background. And it's kind of like it's so kind of automatic to walk a little bit rather than doing it. I'm being done to. And so it's kind of like I'm being carried along. Sometimes even in walking meditation, I imagine I'm a passenger of a car. I'm just being carried by the car, not even driving it. And so the idea of being carried in the current of time, in the current of the present moment, with the movements of the body, be in the flow of the movements of the body as it moves. And so, but not by trying hard to be in the present, but continually releasing into the present, into the current. And so for me personally, you can ask yourself or explore for yourself, where is that sense of release into the current of the movement, maybe of the foot going, for example, or the whole body kinesthetically? Is there some point in there where there is a greater sense of release into the current of the moment than other parts? So for example, for me, the strongest part is as the foot comes down. But also there's not quite as strong, but as the foot gets lifted up, actually, kind of releasing, letting go that goes on there, and swing forward and then release and letting go that happens as the foot goes down. And kind of appreciating that sense of release that happens there. And then kind of relaxing, then to relax into the current for the next few moments until the next release. So letting go into the walking, letting go into the way the walking is carrying you, and allowing space for you to feel the sense of being in the current of time, or being in the current of movement, being the current of sensations coming and going. I think it can be much more relaxing for the mind than being trying to have a laser focus of the mind that's really going to stay right there with each step. And the mind kind of becomes, can be quite relaxed, and maybe it's even in the back seat in the passenger seat. And the mind's main job is to remind you, let go. It's like the kids are in the back seat and they're gently saying to the person in the passenger seat, stop telling the driver how to drive. You don't have to, and let it be. And just kind of sit there and feel the current of it all. Here at IRC, the walking camp, those of you new here, we have used to call that the walking hall next door from this meditation hall. Now we have two meditation halls, the Buddha meditation hall and the Patachara meditation hall. But the hallways can be used for walking meditation, the community room downstairs. Without your shoes on, some people will go on the carpet downstairs. The carpet is used for a lot of different things. So it's first come, first serve kind of. But walking there, it's a little bit in the dining room, out of the way can be done. The decks outside, the parking lot. Some people can do it, find it quite comfortable to do it in their rooms. So maybe a little bit short, but sometimes it can be done quite nicely there. The sense of kind of releasing into the flow, a current of walking, I find it very helpful to find a pace of walking that brings you a sense of ease, that brings me a sense of ease. And where the idea of ease is not a fixed idea of speed, it varies how what's happening with you. And there are times when you just feel like the best thing you could ever do to bring you a sense of ease is to go like a snail. And other times that'll just agitate you to know, greatly to do that. And what feels the best is to go to normal pace. Other times it might be a fast pace, power walk back and forth, if there's a lot of strong emotions and energies going on. The fast walking sometimes can allow for that in a respectful way, move through us without getting bottled up or without getting kind of trapped by it or struggle with it as much, because the faster movement kind of gives a movement to ease to whatever emotionally, energetically is going on. If you do fast walking meditation, it's kind of nice to do it a little bit further away from people who are doing the snail thing, because you might frighten them or something. Or be distracting. And if you're going fast, you can easily get to some places further away to do it, maybe up in the parking lot or something. And then, there is this art, I call it an art of mental noting, of labeling. And if you're familiar enough with it or comfortable with it or want to experiment with it, maybe there's a little note you could use as you walk, a very soft whisper, relaxed whisper, wispy whisper in the mind, that backseat mind, that kind of goes along with releasing into the experience of walking, into the steps or into the kinesthetics of it, into the moment of whatever the experience is as you walk. So I like sometimes doing just step, step, but step, it doesn't quite mean only step. I've enriched the word with everything. It's kind of like step and release and allow, step and flow with it. And then I'm just there for whatever is going on, and with a kind of a greater kind of receptivity to the feet and the legs as they walk. But it's just the whole show. And so step. And part of what the word step means for me is also to release the mind that's thinking. So I don't know. It's over a long period of time that I've gotten that's become such a rich word for me. I don't expect everyone to do the gymnastics of all these meanings all at once. But it's fun to have these words that somehow get rich with associations, and that it's kind of second nature. Step, just kind of like the scooter. Step, kick off or something. And so then, and then it's invaluable to have a longer period of time you can during a walking period to do it. Length of time sometimes is really helpful to kind of for the whole system to kind of get familiar and settle into what you're doing. So if you do a walking meditation for 10 minutes now in the 45-minute walking period, that's fantastic. Wonderful. We should celebrate. But you're not getting all the benefits that come from doing it for 35 minutes during that time. And where there's things you really settle in and maybe working through some of the challenges that even come up and just stay in there and relax and be with it and be with it. And so, I think it's better to kind of generally spend as long period of time you can so that if you want to have tea or go to the bathroom, try to do it at the beginning and the end rather than interrupt yourself as you go along. So it's an art, just like sitting meditation, walking meditation, but it's an art that involves movement. And movement maybe might allow a kind of easier reminder to be in the river of time, the river of the present moment, the river of now, and to be carried by it, to allow yourself to allow it to move through you. So you're being done to rather than you're the doer of your experience. So enjoy so some of you have yogi jobs now, work meditation now, and in the kitchen. And enjoy your day. Thank you.